Many times we start off the new year with resolutions. We make these promises, make these pacts to ourselves, and obviously us as believers make these pacts to God about how we're going to change, what we're going to do better, what we're going to do less of, what we're going to do more of, how we're going to be more effective, and things like that. Some of the more popular things are I'm going to get in shape, I'm going to work out, I'm going to read my Bible more, I'm going to read books in general more. I'm going to spend more time with my family. I'm going to work harder at work. I'm going to learn a new skill. We do all these things. We make all these promises and pacts to God. And I, like you guys, are the same. I make these promises and these pacts. A lot of times they fall short, or they we don't achieve the result that we're looking for because we don't make a very good plan to be successful. I want to talk to you guys this morning about that a little bit. But also about how to be successful when you're carrying out these resolutions. Of course, one of mine, and a big one, I'm sure, for many people, is to lose weight, get in shape, right? Lose weight, get in shape. That's a big thing for people. A lot of us do that and make that resolution. I, of course, am an ex-athlete. I played football in high school and had many friends, of course, that played football on the football team with me. A lot of them went off to play in college. I did not. They went and played in college. And even a handful of them were able to make it all the way to the NFL, to the highest level, if you will, of football. Have, like I said, several friends that I played football with that made it that far. One of them I'm still very, very close to. His name is Deji Kareem. He's a year older than I am, but we played on the football team together. He was a running back. He played school ball up in Illinois, and he ended up playing in the NFL for a little bit. And Deji and I, of course, talk from time to time because we grew up together. We've been friends probably since I was in fifth grade, and sixth grade, and so it's been many years. And so I'm just kind of shooting the breeze from the other day. You know, we're talking about our goals for this year. Something about, you know, how one of my goals is to lose weight, get in shape, all that kind of stuff, of course. Looking at me, obviously, I'm an ex-athlete. I'm not still an athlete like that. But if you look at Deji looks like he probably could still, like, buckle it up and go play NFL right now. Like, that's how in shape he is. He still trains like he is an NFL athlete. And so my dumb self made the mistake and said, hey, Deji, you're a guy in shape. Give me some of your pointers. Let me tell you what this lunatic said. He said, okay, so what I do is I get up about 4:30. I said, huh? Yeah, 4:30, I get up, you know, I get myself up, get dressed, you know, brush my teeth, wash my face, all that good stuff. And then I go downstairs and I have either a banana and a piece of toast, or I have like some yogurt and a piece of toast. So I'm like, okay. He goes, yeah, that's my fuel for my first workout of the day. I said, oh, so that means there's gonna be more than one. You said first, cool. And so he gets up, he's like, yeah, so I get up, I'm at the house by about 5. I get to the gym, you know, about 5:15, and I go and I lift about an hour and a half, 2 hours. You lift. I would have 2 hours. I said, okay, all right, okay. So he goes and he lifts. I would have 2 hours. He does that. I'm like, okay. And then what? It's okay. So then I get home, you know, and I make my breakfast. I'm like, oh, yeah, now we're talking breakfast. I said, okay, so what you have for breakfast? He goes, well, I have these egg whites, right? I said, uh-huh. Yeah, and then I have like some, I said, whoa, freeze. Which you don't get salt, pepper? No, just egg whites. Just scramble them up like eggs. I'm like, okay. And he says, and I have this oatmeal. It's like steel cut oats, but it's mostly barley. I said, barley? Like, yeah, you know, I was like, I'm not gonna lie to you. I know what barley is. And I think about barley, I think about tree bark. He's like, oh, basically, it's like, that's the consistency. So, okay, so what do you put in your barley? He goes, nothing. I just eat it. I said, oh, no honey, no brown sugar, no raisins, nothing. He goes, no. Okay, cool. Okay. I can handle that. He goes, but wait. I said, oh, okay. There's more. Cool. Good. So, yeah, then I go, you know, work for my actual job because he works at the Hershey factory, at the chocolate factory. Imagine that. I know, right? Exactly. He's in Hershey, PA. And so he does some work for that job, he says. But then, you know, since I work from home because of COVID, and if he stays working from COVID, I go do whatever I want to as long as I get my work done. So it's like, do a little work there. He says, and then I go to, I get a little snack. I'm like, oh, cool, a little snack. All right. He's like, you know, maybe like some almonds and some cheese sticks. I was like, oh, okay. Cool. And he's like, then I go to yoga or I go to something like that so I can work on my balance and stretching. I'm like, okay, that doesn't sound too bad. But when you think about yoga, you think, okay, yeah, you can sit and stretch, yeah, you stretch and you tear your body up for a little bit, and then you have to do all this balance stuff, and you hold your core tight the whole time you're doing this. So when you're done, your abs hurt and your thighs hurt and your legs burn, kind of like with Miss Diana the other night with the Get Fit class, and you're just hurting, right? He's like, yeah, so I do that. I'm like, okay. He said, then it's lunchtime. I was like, all right, we're at the lunch again. He's like, so what I have me a piece of salmon. Uh-huh. Yeah. Just salmon, like a side salad. I'm like, oh, Jesus, okay. But I do like fish. I was like, okay, I can do that. He goes, now, and then, I was like, oh, and then, cool. And then I go work on my football skills, because in the afternoon it's warm outside, so I can go outside. Like, oh, yeah, it makes sense. It's warm outside. Go outside. Cool. So he goes and he works on his football skills. He runs cones. He does all this stuff. And he goes, you know, and then he goes, he does all that. It's about an hour and a half or 2 hours. He's like, oh, another 2 hour workout. Cool. And then he's like, so then, you know, by then my body's a little broke down. Like, yeah, mine too. You're right. Yeah. So then it's recovery time. So I got to get me like a little recovery drink. Then it helps me like kind of get back to going and make it. I might take an ice bath to kind of get some of that lactic acid out of my muscles. But okay. He goes, and then I go get my little afternoon snack. Usually just like a little, you know, he says like a little piece of steak. I'm like, that's not a snack. That's a whole meal, whatever. But he eats that. And then he says, then I go for my run. I said, oh, awesome. Then we get to do a run. That'll be fun. He goes, yeah. So usually about, you know, 2 or 3 miles, nothing crazy. Yeah, nothing crazy, 2 or 3 miles. That's no big deal. You're right. So he does that. He says, either I do that or I get on the bike or I get on the treadmill and I do the equivalent of 2 or 3 miles on my conditioning. I'm like, oh, okay. He says, and then I eat dinner. Well, okay. What do you eat for dinner? Usually it's just like a salad or like another steak. And then he goes, and then I kind of do some little stuff for work and then I lay down and I go to sleep. Oh, yeah, sleep. That's good. And then this psychopath says, the next day, I do it all again. So that sounds great. You know what? That's cool. Listen, I'm not an NFL player. I'm not even close to. I didn't even smell the NFL. I've only been to one NFL game in my life. One. I watched it from the stands, way up high. Didn't even touch the field. I was like, that's not for me, Deji. But you know what? I will say, the skeleton is there for somebody like me. Maybe I won't do what Deji's doing, because Deji's a little bit further off than I am, but that skeleton is there. And I think to myself, his regiment and his training is much like what we need to do for ourselves if we're going to be effective followers of Christ, right? We have to start somewhere and do these things to be effective followers of Christ. Deji worked a technique. Deji's been playing football since he could walk, okay? I started playing football in fifth grade. Deji started playing football when he was 3 with 5-year-olds. He played tackle football with 5-year-olds when he was 3, okay? That's how much Deji loves and eats and breathes football. He played all those years all the way up through to the NFL. The whole time Deji's playing football, he's working his technique, working it over and over and over and over again. Deji's one of those guys who we like to call in the sports world a try-hard, right? What I mean by that is Deji's going to be 100% no matter what he's doing. If we're running wind sprints, Deji's the first one. If we're doing bench press, he's lifting the most. If we're doing box jumps, he's jumping the highest, right? Whereas my lazy self is like, listen, I know I'm the fat one here, so I'm not going to expect me to win a wind sprint. So I'm going to jog this thing out, right? Not Deji. Deji's going to win every single time. Deji gets maximum effort no matter what he's doing. Deji will do this day in and day out. Like I said, he's a psychopath. He says, I'm going to do it again the next day. He does this day in and day out. And because he does that, I will tell you, Deji Kareem could probably buckle it up and go to the NFL right now, because that's how dedicated he is to being a football player. I still have to say that to you guys, because we as Christians, especially whenever we make that resolution to be a better follower of Christ, we have to train much like that. Much like that, we have to train like Deji or anybody else who's a high caliber athlete. You think about these high caliber athletes that do it for a living. They do this stuff and they train their bodies and they break their bodies down and they give all they've got and they do all this because they believe that they're going to win a prize. They're going to achieve something at the end. And we have to do like that with our walk with Jesus Christ. We have to train like that because we know at the end we do win a prize, the ultimate prize, eternal life. We win a prize. But we forget. We forget about the training techniques that we're supposed to be using. We forget about how we're supposed to condition our bodies for this walk, for this life. I'll talk to you guys about this in three steps about conditioning our bodies and to conditioning ourselves for a walk with Christ. Number one, we have to work with our technique. We have to start with our technique, our fundamentals, if you will. You know, like I said, with Deji, he was working his fundamentals, he was working his technique day in and day out, doing those drills in the afternoons. You know, the Olympics are coming up. I love to watch the Olympics. Olympics is one of my favorite things to watch just because there's so many different athletes, so many different kinds of sports that are going on, and these people are the best at what they do, the best of the best in the world, not just the United States, but the world, and they're doing these, and they're competing in these games, and it's so fun to watch because it's like, man, they've been training hard to do this, and it's just, it's amazing to watch because these people are just high caliber athletes. Their bodies are built for what they're doing. Their training has helped them to get to this point to do this. One of my favorite ones to watch is Olympic weightlifting. You might think like that sounds boring, but I love to watch it because it just amazes me that the human body can do what their human bodies can do. All my years of playing football and lifting weights, and at some points I was stronger than others, I never lifted the kind of weight these people can lift. It just amazes me what they can lift and what they can do. They will lift these bars of tremendous proportion. Not only will they lift them up off the ground, but they will throw them up onto their chest, and they will push them up in the air and catch. It's called a hang clean snatch and catch. So they'll pull here to the chest, catch here, pause, then push up one more time and catch it above their heads. And I'm like, man, that's just fantastic to watch. And I'm thinking to myself, I would love to do that, except for I think I'd break my neck. And so I won't try to. But I was watching a documentary one time on how these people get to the point where they can do that so confidently. And it's because they, obviously they're super strong, but they work their technique. And the way they work their technique is like this. They take a broomstick, no weight, and they do that lift over and over and over again, no weight. And slowly they incorporate small weight. No matter how strong they are, they incorporate the small weight, and bigger and bigger and bigger, so they get to the point where they're at their Olympic weightlifting proportion, and they try to throw it up, and they do this. And they do it over and over and over again, like I said, but they start with this little small weight. You think to yourself, how does that make you a good weightlifter? Weightlifting is about lifting weights. It's about being strong. What is a broomstick going to help you do? Well, a broomstick gets you to a point where your technique is so good that the weight that you lift is not the problem. It's how you lift it, right? So I can lift a strong amount of weight. Maybe you're a strong person, you can lift a whole bunch of weight, but somebody who knows technique is going to outlift you any day. Even if you are just a little bit stronger than somebody, but if they know technique, they're going to outlift you any day. I think about, you know, like I said, I played football, and we always scrimmage this team called Cushing. Now, Cushing, as you guys know, is not far from here. It's kind of a small country town. I've never been hit harder in a football game than I have been when I played Cushing, because Cushing boys, for some reason, just knew how to hit. And I found out that reason because I ran into a Cushing boy when I went to OSU my first year. My first year at OSU, I was going to college there, and I ran into this gentleman. His name was Randall. Now, Randall is kind of a softer guy. I was like, you played football for Cushing? That's really weird. But he was talking. He's a kind of a softer guy. But as he began to talk about what they did for their training regiment, I found out why Cushing could hit so hard. These dudes pretty much bale hay, push around cows, and stack wood for the training regiment. And all the weights that we lift in the world, all the cones we ran and all the equipment that we had nothing compared to pushing around a 1,000-pound cow and running into and, like, being able to, you know, like, for fun, just to give you guys an example, for fun, these dudes would run to a field of cows, put them in a headlock and try to take them down. That's their different fun. So if you can do that, though I was a big dude, I was nowhere near the size of a cow. So when they hit me, I'm like, oh, you hit me with that cow strength. No wonder you're about to knock me out and give me I'm a little concussed, right? All I say is these guys' technique was so good because of what they did to train for. I was bigger than most of the Cushing guys, but they would hit me so hard, I thought I got hit by somebody twice my size because of the technique and the way they could hit and the way they did it. Likewise, when we follow Christ and whenever we're working on our walk with Christ, our technique must be that. It must be so precise and so good. And so good with our technique that whenever heavy weight comes, we're able to lift it. In Matthew 16:24, it says this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. You might think, what does that have to do with technique? What does that have to do with, because we have to start somewhere. See, technique is you have to start somewhere. Where we start with, as believers in Jesus, we start by denying ourselves and picking up our cross and following Jesus. We have to start with that. You don't just jump into preaching the gospel up on a pedestal, at a pedestal. You don't jump into just going on mission trips. You don't jump into just leading worship. You don't jump into just being a pastor or a minister of the gospel. You have to take steps. And those steps start with, number one, denying yourself and your foolish and your selfish ambitions and desires. Deny those and allowing Christ, following Christ and allowing him to give you the new desire, the new ambition, and the new goal, which is to proclaim the gospel. Because in ourselves, selfishly, if you're honest with yourself, selfishly in your human, in your flesh, you don't want to preach the gospel. What does that benefit me? Selfishly. I'm not saying this as a believer in Christ. I know what it benefits me. But my flesh, coming up here on Sundays and telling you guys about Jesus, does not benefit me in my flesh. In my spirit, of course it does. That's why I do it. Because in my spirit, I know that if I tell you about Jesus Christ, somebody's going to hear about Jesus, be saved, be changed, be moved, and now be a better follower of Jesus Christ. And that's why I do it. But in our flesh, what do we want? Money. We want fame. We want comfort. We want ease. Nobody wants to be just uncomfortable. Nobody wants anything to be hard. Nobody wants to be broke. Nobody wants to be unknown. Nobody wants that in their flesh. But we know that in our spirit, that stuff does not matter. Because in our spirit, the only thing that matters is Jesus Christ and making him know. So our technique we've got to start with is we've got to deny ourselves. So whatever it is that you want selfishly, get it out the way. It's all about what Jesus wants for you. It's all about what God's called you to do. Selfishly, I wanted to own McDonald's, be set for the rest of my life. Jesus said, guess what? You're going to take a vow of poverty and become a pastor. That's what I want you to do. And that's what you're going to do, or life's going to be pretty miserable. And I'll tell you, when I fought the calling, life was miserable until I surrendered to the calling. All of a sudden, here I am in front of you preaching the gospel. Now, am I rich? And as far as finance goes, by no means. Has God taken care of me every step of the way? 100%. Am I rich in spirit? Yes, I am. I love what I get to do. The fact that I get to go to work every single day and my job is to tell people about Jesus is a blessing. The fact that I have a church family and home here in New Jewel where I can do ministry and where my family's here and we tell people about Jesus is a blessing. My literal being right now is telling people about Jesus, nothing more, nothing less. It's a blessing. But even though I do that day in and day out, I still have to work my fundamental, my technique, and deny myself every day and decide I'm going to pick up this cross. Deny myself every day and pick up this cross. Because the moment that I stop doing technique and think I could just lift the weights, I'm going to hurt myself. If I forget about technique, all of a sudden I go bench press, I'm going to tear my pec muscle off of my body. It's going to roll up and it's going to hurt. The day that I think that I can squat more than I can without going through my technique, my back shifts, I slip a disc, and I can't walk. The moment you think that you can do it by yourself or without a technique, you are in trouble and you're hurting. I'm going to tell you right now, you're in trouble and you're hurting. But if you continue to walk and use your technique, and every single day you say, I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to wake up this morning, I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to follow Christ. Then guess what? You continue to grow. You continue to get stronger and stronger and stronger in the Lord. In Matthew 4:18-22, it says this. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets, and they followed him. Going from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and brother John, and they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Here's an example of four men who decided that they were going to work the technique, deny themselves, and follow Jesus. Now, I'll tell you this next scripture for two things. Number one, you have to get people around you who are going to encourage and hold you accountable to follow Jesus. See, I can say all day I'm going to go to the gym, but the moment that I get a gym partner or partners, there's people who will say, hey, we said we're going to go to the gym. Let's go to the gym. When you get people around you who are Christ followers, hey, we said we're going to do this Jesus thing. Let's do it for real. And the moment you slip and fall, those people are supposed to be people that say, hey, you're going to follow Jesus. Let's follow Jesus. And your job is not to be so proud and boastful, to be so arrogant and say, hey, don't you tell me about my life with Jesus. That's not what that's about. If somebody that you love, you care about, that you know is following Christ, and they speak in your life that, hey, you're not following Jesus very well, you listen. It's not our job to be like, oh, well, you're not following Jesus well either. That's not the way that works. That's not how accountability works. Accountability works as, you know what, I'm asking you to hold me accountable, and I'm letting myself be accountable to you. And so whenever you come to me and say, hey, you're not doing X, Y, Z right, I'm going to examine myself, and I'm going to examine X, Y, Z, and see how I can do X, Y, Z better. That's how it works. That's accountability. Likewise, if me and you're an accountability partner, and you tell me that, and I tell you something else, it's not this back and forth thing of like, oh, we're just going to keep telling each other. It's we listen to each other, we grow together, we come to an understanding, and then we fix it, and we move on. Whenever Jesus called those four men, he formed an accountability group, if you will. Now I have these four people who are following me that are going to be following me, and now that they're going to hold each other accountable. But the flip side of that, number two, was now Jesus, though Jesus did not need accountability, now he's held accountable because he has people who are following him. So when you get yourself to a point where you have people who are quote unquote followers of you, who are looking to you for guidance, like myself with my youth kids, now all of a sudden, I have accountability with them. Yes, they're holding each other accountable, but guess what? They're holding me accountable too as their youth pastor. They're looking at me to say, hey, point us to the throne. And I've told my kids all the time, my youth kids, if ever I'm not showing you the way to the throne, let me know. Point it out. I am not too proud to say, oh, if I'm not pointing you to the throne, I don't want you to go the wrong direction. So please let me know. Likewise with you, whoever's in your life that you call friend, that you call confidant, that you call partner, if you will, and they're trying to hold you accountable, allow them to do that. Allow them to do that, be held accountable so that you're both growing in Christ. And that's what Jesus did whenever he called the disciples. He said, listen, I'm giving you guys this group. You guys hold each other accountable, but likewise, you hold me accountable as I lead you to the throne. So number one is your technique. You got to work it. You got to work your technique. It sounds simple. Okay, deny myself and pick up my cross. Cool, I can do that, but you got to do it. Technique. It sounds goofy to lift this broomstick over and over and over again, but you do that broomstick over and over and over again, you get to the Olympics, all of a sudden you're throwing up big weight and you're winning medals. Next thing, like I said about with Deji, it's got to be effort. It's got to be not just effort, but maximum effort every single time. Deji, when he goes and trains, he legit gives all he's got. I've watched Deji's training. As a matter of fact, you can go on YouTube and watch his training videos from the NFL Combine. And I tell you right now, Deji Kareem wakes up sweating. I've never seen somebody sweat so much in my life because of how hard he works. He works, he works, he works, he works, he works. Maximum effort. Likewise, with these Olympic weightlifters, every single lift they do has to be maximum effort because they don't know when that lift's going to be the last lift. Because the way that Olympic weightlifting works is they start off with a smaller weight and they continue to lift. So they have weight classes. So if you're a certain weight, you lift weights in that weight class, and everybody in that weight class lifts the exact same weight every single time until they get to the point where, okay, this guy can lift the most, somebody else can lift more than him type thing. And so these guys have to, every single lift they do has to be maximum effort because they never know when this lift is going to be the last lift. I'm like, oh, wow, I'm going to just ease into it this round and then I'm going to hit the next round hard. The problem is if you ease into that round and you don't get that lift up, you're done. That's it. For 4 years, they train for these things. 4 years. In 4 years, they get one lift. 4 years, one lift, and that one lift's got to be everything they've got every single time. Because if they don't do that, they lose the prize. The moment they don't give maximum effort, they lose the prize. Likewise, the moment that Deji doesn't give maximum effort is the day that he cannot continue to go on in the NFL. Like I said, Deji has been released from the NFL, but any day, if he decides to, he could jump back in there, and they could call his number up, and he could go back to the NFL. And I'm telling you right now, he's ready. He's ready to do it. I've watched him train. I've heard from him. I've heard his heart. He's ready if ever God were to open the door up for him again. But he knows that he has to give maximum effort every single day until he's for sure not be able to go to the NFL anymore. Likewise, with those weightlifters, every single lift, there's no lifts off. There's no like, oh, well, I'm just going to kind of get this one up. No, they throw it up every single time until that prize is won or until they can't do it anymore. Likewise, our effort must be the same when we follow Christ because we never know when it's going to be our time to share the gospel. We never know when it's going to be our time to open our mouths up, to give an example, an account of what we believe. We never know, but the Bible tells us to be ready to do so. And we do it with maximum effort. Because let's say that you might not be feeling good one day. Oh, I just don't feel good today. I'm not really feeling it. I just want to go home and take a nap. And you encounter somebody who asked you about Jesus. And maybe you're just so annoyed and you're so worked up. Like, oh, well, I mean, yeah, Jesus, this guy died. He came, he died 2,000 years ago on the cross for our sins, okay? And you walk away. That person doesn't know Jesus. That person doesn't know love, mercy, or grace at all. But in your sickness and your hard time and in your weariness, if you have a Jesus Christ to be your strength, and when you share passionately about the realization of Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, maybe that person doesn't get to know Jesus, but they have a lot better opportunity and a lot better effort to know that they're going to know Jesus. once again, in Matthew, and this is in, in Mark, excuse me, chapter 12. This is verse 41 through 44. Mark 12, verses 41 through 44. It's a scripture and a passage we're pretty familiar with. It's about the giving in the temple. It says this: Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd put in their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came in and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." When we say maximum effort, that's what we mean. I'm not saying go empty your bank account and give it all away. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this: is empty your account of what God's called you to do. By that, I mean the account of energy you have. Like, oh, I want to save some energy for myself so I can go home and, you know, play some video games. I can get home and watch some TV. I can go do these things. That's not what God's called us to do. God's called us to give everything, all we've got, every single day to further the gospel and to make the kingdom more known. Too many times we decide, well, I'm going to hold back a little bit. I'm going to give God some, but I'm going to hold back a little bit. I'm going to give him some here, but I'm going to hold back here. And that's not what God called us, who God's called us to be. He's called us to be people who are sold out completely for God. The fact of the matter is, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he said, "You know what? I'm going to the cross, but I ain't trying to die. Like, I'll take the beating and stuff, but I'm not going in the grave. So y'all got to work that out amongst yourselves, okay? I'm giving you all this, all right? I don't know what more you want from me." But that's how we speak with God. Like, God, I'm going to church. God, I mean, I paid my 10%. God, I mean, you know, I'm singing my praise song. What more do you want from me? I want you to volunteer in the nursery. I want you to volunteer in the children's department. I want you to volunteer in the youth. I want you to go on a mission trip. I want you to go to East Central Village. I want you to go start a Bible study. I want you to go do this, that, and the other. Whoa. I said, I'm coming to church. I'm a member of New Joy. I'm here every Sunday. Like, I look at my attendance record. I'm pretty good. I mean, I miss a couple, but I'm about 100%. You know, I mean, I'm not sure which more you want from me. And God's answer is, I want all of it. Much more I want all of it. If you got any more, give it to me. If you got some hidden somewhere, pull it out. Some in a safe, hit that combination, open it up. I'm going to need that. There's no savings accounts when it comes to God. There's no savings account when it comes to God. I need all that. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about what he's called us to do, your effort and what you've been called to do. All of it. That's what I need. All of it. It's not enough to come here on Sundays. It's not enough to be on the line on Wednesdays. God's called us to be all in. Hear me well. Continue to come here on Sundays. I love seeing you. Continue to be on the line on Wednesdays. I'm sure the pastor loves hearing from you, but he's called to be much more than that. If there's anything I've learned from working at John 3:16 and being able to do ministry every single day is that there's so much ministry to be done that we can't do it all. But man, we should be trying to. We should be trying to. I leave John 3:16 every single day and I'm like, dang, we did a lot today, but we only touched like this much of that much. That God wants us to do and has called us to do. I'm not telling you to kill yourself. I'm not telling you to drive yourself into the ground, but I am telling you that, and if you're honest with yourself, that you know that you hold a little bit back for yourself and we're not giving it all to God like we're supposed to be. We know that we're not. And if I'm wrong and I'm by myself, then I'm by myself. But I know I'm not always giving all to God like I can be. Hold back a little bit for myself. And that's not what God's called me to be or called you to be, who God's called you to be. Sold out completely. Maximum effort. like I said, whenever I was talking to Deji, the technique came out. It's maximum effort come out. And I know I keep calling him a lunatic and a psychopath, but it is about repetition. It is about consistency and doing it over and over and over again. Somebody said that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and looking for a different result. With Jesus, we do the same thing over and over again that he's called you to do. There's many different results. Because God's called me to read my Bible every single day. And every time I read my Bible, there's a different result. God's called me to serve every single day. When I serve, even when I serve the same capacity, there's different results, different outcomes. Because when God calls you to do something, he calls you to do it over and over and over again, he's going to use it over and over and over again to further the kingdom. We talk about repetition. Luke 9, this is where I'll kind of finish up. Luke 9, 23. Then he said this to them all. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. You might say, Pastor Savage, you just read that scripture at the beginning. And it's not the same scripture, obviously, because it's a different book. But though that scripture is almost identical to the one I read earlier, there's one word that separates it, and that word, daily. Daily. Every single day, you must decide to get up, deny yourself, put in maximum effort, and follow Jesus. Every day. You're like, well, I got saved, 5,000 years ago, for some of us in this room, a little older than I am, but I got saved back in the day. What do I need more effort for? You know, I've been saved 18 years now. And 18 years ago, yes, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and I took the step to follow him. I denied myself, and I picked up my cross, but that was day one of many. And until Christ calls me home or come back to get us, our job is every single day to deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow him daily. It can't be like, oh, well, I did my duty. I denied myself. I got up this morning. I came to church. I heard this guy say something about working out and whatnot. And I heard about Jesus here and there. And now I go live the rest of my week. And I'm good. I did my thing. That's not the way it works. Because tomorrow, like Deji said, guess what? We do it all over again. All over again. We get to get up. We get to, not have to, we get to get up, deny ourselves, put in maximum effort, and follow Jesus. And we do that every single day for the rest of our lives until Christ calls us home, until he comes back to get us. And when we do that, we are effective for the ministry of the gospel. Not because of anything good that we have, no, not anything good that we have, but because of the Holy Spirit. And when we allow God to use us, mountains move. We allow God to use us, seas calm. We allow God to use us, people are redeemed and saved by the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. That's what happens when we allow the gospel to be used. I know it because I've seen it. As the song says, I've seen it with my own eyes. On Friday, we had Streetlight Gang. First one of the year. We haven't had Streetlight Gang since October. We're doing them every quarter now. We had our Streetlight Gang. We did advertisement. We had dodgeball. We had silent disco. We had food. We had prizes. And we had over 100 kids in the building. Going crazy. It was wild. It's nuts. And I just began to pray. God, move. God, bring us these lost kids. God, do what only you can do. Yet, if you've never worked around teenagers, you don't know how crazy they are and how wild they are. So you have over 100 wild, crazy teenagers running around the building. They're shooting basketballs. People get hit in the head. There's all kinds of stuff going on. Nothing bad, nothing malicious. We eat. We go upstairs. We're ready for worship. And I'm talking about this place is ram. Bunctious. It smells like feet. I'm talking about the thermostat set on hell. I'm not gonna lie to you, it's hot. It's dark. I'm like, man. And the praise thing gets up there and they pray, and it's almost like this still in the room. It's like the calm before the storm, right? It gets quiet. And they play this song, one that we know here but know well, called I Thank God. And that first downbeat hits. And you see about 80 of these kids jump up and get ready to praise the Lord. And they're jumping up and down. They're screaming, I thank God. Hell lost another one. I'm free. And I'm like, man, this is it. Let me go on and, we sing a song called More Than Able. And you hear all these students saying, telling God, he's more than able. More than able. Oh, my dang. And they get that last song, Make Room. 100 kids saying they're going to make room for Jesus. Only God can do that. There's nothing I can say to make them do that. There's nothing I can do to convince them that that's true. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And they go on the last chorus of they kind of go rogue like I like to do, and they do a song called Nothing Else. And it says, nothing else will do. I just want you. And they sing this chorus over and over and over again. You might think that gets annoying, but it doesn't. They hear the 100 screaming kids say, there's nothing else I want but Jesus. And nothing else in this world will do besides Jesus. Then the music is over and they sit down and they're quiet. And they're listening to the message. Once again, nothing I can say or do to make that happen. Can I yell at them and tell them to stop crying? Yeah, but I didn't do any of that. It just happened naturally. So I know it was God. And as the message is over, invitation is given. Six students raise their hands for salvation. Six. Once again, nothing can be said or done. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And I know that all happened because it started with technique, maximum effort, and repetition. Nothing to do with anything I could have said or done that night would make that happen. This all started a long time ago whenever God was getting this night ready to happen. I was happy to be there for the harvest. But we, as believers, have got to get to that point where we know that our technique, denying ourselves, our maximum effort and repetition will cause people to move towards Jesus if we do it faithfully and with a caring, loving heart. But only love that comes from Jesus Christ. You want to see this church building filled up? Technique, maximum effort, repetition. You want to see your family reunited, restored, and healed? Technique, maximum effort, repetition. You want to see friendships or relationships mended? Technique, maximum effort, repetition. You want to see the whole world saved? Technique, maximum effort, and repetition. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for getting us through another year, getting us to see 2024. Father God, I know it's off to a great start already. I'm praying that you would just continue to let your light be shown and shined through this place and through us as believers. We're praying, Father God, for us at New Joy Fellowship as we are a ministry that is loving you and loving people. Father God, you help us to be a beacon in this dark, dark place. Father God, remind us of our technique to deny ourselves and to pick up our cross. Remind us, Father, to give us our maximum effort when telling people about you. Father God, give us the strength for repetition to do this over and over and over again until you call us home, until you come back and get us. Father God, through that, let people's hearts be changed and lives be saved. I thank you for the ministry that happens here at New Joy Fellowship. I pray for continued ministry. I pray for continued changing and healing of people's lives. Father God, I pray that you give us the energy and strength to continue the work that you called us to do. It's your name that I pray. Amen.